morning, everyone, and welcome to Room 42. I'm Liz Fraley from Single Sourcing Solutions. I'm your moderator. This is Janice Summers from TC Camp. She's our interviewer. And welcome to Dr. Xiaoli Li, today's guest in Room 42. Xiaoli is an associate professor of professional and technical writing at the University of Dayton in Ohio. She teaches technical writing, business writing, writing for the web, usability, and user experience. She's fascinating in that during the winter's intersessions of 2019 and 2020, she took students in her professional and technical writing class in global contexts class to China and visited 3 universities and 10 companies. They met with 50 technical writers and conversed with 30 Chinese college students. She coordinates and conducted 3 writing teaching workshops in China in the summers of 2016, 17, and 2018. She received an MA in scientific and technical communication from Bowling Green State University and a PhD in rhetorics, communication, and information design from Clemson University. Her research interests include technical communication in global contexts, technical writing pedagogy, and program development, and collaboration between academia and industry. She regularly presents at technical and professional writing conferences, and she's currently on sabbatical leave, and we're grateful that she could interrupt her time to be here with us. She works with the China Technical Communication Alliance to promote the proposed technical writing certification program in China. And today, she's here to help us start answering the question, how can writing professionals build bridges? Welcome.
Thank you, Liz.
I'm excited you're here.
Thank you, Janice. Yes. Thank you, Liz.
Yes, Dr. Li, it's a privilege to have you here. So you've got some really interesting publications out there and some other articles that I want to go and read about later about entrepreneurs, women, gender roles, and some cultural facets too. But today, I'd like to talk to you about your book. Now, you have a book. Is it published or is it up and coming to be soon to be published?
The textbook is called Becoming a Technical Writer, which was published last year, last October in China. And it's by Fudan University Press. Fudan University is one of the top universities in Shanghai.
Right, right. Now, is that available in the States as well, or?
No, I don't think so at this time.
Okay. At this time.
Because of COVID, and even I haven't seen a copy. I don't have a hard copy of this book yet. And then, well, in next month, you know, one of the students is going to bring a few copies to the US.
Oh, good.
To me. So I'm going to use that in my tech writing class in the fall semester.
Oh, nice. Well, they'll get the privilege of that. So talk to us about this book. It's very interesting, the journey of this book and its origin. Like, what inspired you to take on this project to write this book?
Okay. First of all, I want to admit that this is not a single authored book. It's a truly, it's a collaboration between the university professors of technical writing, translation professors, and also practitioners of technical writers in China. Mm-hmm. And one of our co-authors, she's also the leading author, is that Monica Xie, and she has experience working for IBM, Microsoft, and then another US company, a small tech writing company in Shanghai. And then currently she's teaching. She's doing lots of the teaching, technical writing class, teaching tech writing classes at Fudan University, Southeast University, a number of universities in Shanghai and also in Suzhou. And so for this book, from Liz's introduction is that she mentioned that my graduate degree was in scientific and technical communication from Bowling Green. And so after I got my master's, I went back to China because before I came to the US for the first time, I was already a instructor in the university and a foreign language university in Xi'an.
Oh, okay.
And so they kept my teaching position. And so I was basically on a 2-year leave. And then I went back to my university and then the department chair was very generous. And then when I talked about what I'm studying and then she agreed to allow me to teach technical writing to the students, juniors in the English department at Xi'an Foreign Language University. So I did that for 1 year. And that year, because it was technical writing was a new subject for students,
yeah, right,
for everyone. And yeah, I didn't have a textbook. And at that time, the textbook I was familiar with when I was a graduate student here in the US was that the Mike Markell's book. Mike's book. And so Markell's textbook. And I can't remember which version of that. And so I have some copies, and then I used some materials from that textbook. And it was interesting. There were some like more like the students, it was harder to use the book because quite a number of things at that time, like almost 20 years ago, is that was so different. And the students, lots of the students didn't really need to write a resume or in the in-class exercises. And so when there was talking about write a proposal about the parking lot or something, those are the things that didn't apply to my students. And then not many people drive at 20 years ago in the university.
Right.
And so parking was not an issue at all. And
so it's interesting, context had a huge impact.
Right. And
So
we thought that, in the last 5 years, and so 5 years ago, I had assignment is to write an article on the technical translation with Dr. Huiling Ding from North Carolina State University. And so we have to do the research and we have to interview lots of the technical translators in China. And during that interview process, we're talking with people, when I was introducing myself, saying we teach technical writing here, and then one of them, and Professor Cui from the university in Beijing, and he's an expert on localization, and he said, we do have a small community in China of technical writers, and so he introduced me to the community, the technical community in China. So since then, I've been working with hundreds of the technical writers on a daily basis by using WeChat and as a main contact tool, the channel to communicate with each other. And so always I get the latest news and about what's going on. And then people always ask questions in the group chat. And then now we found that in the last 3 or 4 years, and then some universities began to teach offer a tech writing class. But the challenge has been is that, there isn't such a major in China. So we don't have trained professors, instructors to teach the course, right? And then the second thing is that not every university may find a practicing technical writer to walk into the classroom and teach a class. And so still a very limited number of the universities are offering tech writing class. The second main challenge is that there's no textbook available for the Chinese students.
Right.
And so a number of us and get together, we just thought we need to write a textbook that's for the Chinese students, especially the students in the master's program of translation and interpretation in China, because that's a growing field of study in China. There are over 200 universities that are offering a master's in translation and interpretation. And so we decided to write a textbook for them because those are the people who are very likely to get a technical translation job. And some of them would have changed to a technical writer in China.
Right.
So that's an audience group we found. And then we decided to write the textbook in English because it's the very common practice these days IBM, Microsoft, they have the office in China, and then people have to write in English, but also the Chinese companies are also creating the source text in English.
In English, yes.
And because it's much easier to translate from the source text in English to any other multiple languages than just translate from Chinese to many other languages. And so it's a cheaper process and a more effective, efficient process. And so we decided to write it in English. We decided to write for the MTS students. And also is that we want to the textbook to more reflect the current tech writing practices in China.
Right.
And so that's the book.
Well, and also to reflect the context of coming from China and writing English, right? So that they understand, like you pointed out, I mean, some of the simple things that you just don't think about, like the exercises, they need to be relevant for the population. Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Which would make a huge impact for people's comprehension, because you don't have to explain the concept of a parking lot. You can use examples that relate directly to the community.
And so the book was published last October. So far as I know, a number of schools, the school in Beijing, Shanghai, and Xi'an, and they have already adopted this book as their textbook when they teach the tech writing class. And so it's being used, the textbook now is being used in Chinese universities and to those students, mostly to the MTS students.
Right. So but, now into to author, sorry, go ahead. You were going to say something.
No, I was trying to say is that still technical writing is not a, it's only an elective course for some of the universities who do offer a class. And that's why it's just, there's not a system or a collection or cluster of tech writing classes. This might be the only class for most of the universities. This might be the only class the students will be taken and before they are getting a job in trying to consider a job in technical writing. Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Interesting.
And the context examples, that's not the only way your book is different, right?
Right. And I think that we, I'm familiar with the textbooks used here in the US and they went through like the 10 different textbooks. And most of the tech writing textbooks are designed not really for the majors in professional and technical writing. And it's more like a very good textbook for the service learning courses and service learning courses in technical writing for engineers, for business students. And so in this case is that, most of the textbooks are written by professors in the US, or there are also a number of the textbooks and are written by practitioners. But then that's totally different from the other textbooks, and two different kinds of the textbooks here in are being used in the US. But so the topics covered in the textbook, in the US textbooks, most of them would cover similar things like the basics about technical writing, and they move on to the different types of the documents in we create instructions, proposals, reports, resume. And then our textbook was not organized in that way. And instead, and we do have five modules or five chapters, five sections. And so it's about we followed the documentation production creation process. And so we do have a planning section, we have the developing section, we have the reviewing section, and then we have the final, the delivering section. And so, especially when it comes to the developing part, and we're trying to reflect the current practice, and when people, lots of the bigger companies are using the structured authoring, and then some traditional company are still doing the, like the a simplified, like the technical English, STE. Yeah. And so, and also is that a lot, especially when we do the professional writing, we talk about the plain language. And so those are all the content we included as one chapter or one major section in the, in one, let's say module of the book and under developing. So, and so those are some of the differences of our textbook from the textbooks used here in the US.
Right.
That's a huge addition. Cause I don't know that how many programs even here have a structured authoring as a major or even like a minor module in the degree program. And that's a hard thing to learn and teach once you're in a practicing position.
Right. And if it's tech writing program, if they have a department, they have a 4-year program, or it's a master level program, and then it could be one of the courses. And I do know a number of the schools, like the Virginia Tech, they may have, or the Texas Tech, they may have a course on structured authoring. Right. But not every school could afford that kind of the people to teach that, or is that, well, they have the student population. For example, at University of Dayton, we don't have such a huge group of the students who are focusing on the technical writing. And so it's not typically covered. You know, we focus more on the business writing because that's a required course for our students here. Mm-hmm.
So now you went around, you traveled to author this book, right? And you did, what was the process that you went through? And your collaborative team, right? This isn't just you. You said, you work with a team, which is, I think, working with others makes things a lot stronger. So tell us about that process.
The collaboration is that this happened last summer. Well, the process was for a number of year and two, but last summer we really focused on the producing the text, developing the text. The planning stage was longer. That started 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And
I was gonna say, last summer to now, that's fast.
No. Last summer was more like last spring we started already the reviewing process. And for example, in my technical editing class, and I asked my graduate student to read some chapters of the book, and then just ask a way to see, well, this was kind of like to understand textbook or the text written by the non-native speakers of English and in English. Mm-hmm. And so he said, well, if it's an English reader, and then what kind of things? It's more like we apply the editing process and then to examine a text, but then this time it's focused on the text written by the LA L2O learners. Okay, so that was, but then there are 5 of us, and then 3 of us are in China, in the Shanghai area, and then 2 of us are in the US, and then Professor Zhou is at Metropolitan State University. And so we used email, WeChat, and phone calls to stay connected. And then we also used the shared tools, and then different, we tried quite a number of the software or the tools available for the collaborative writing, because Professor Zhou and I can use the Google Docs, but the other people cannot use the Google Docs. No. And so we have to use a tool in China. But sometimes we don't have the very easy access. And so it's always someone is doing this kind of forwarding the document, and that had been created, and then to us, and then for the review, and then so we just we do have for all the chapters, all the sections, and then each person is responsible for one, but then the other two will be reviewers. It's like the peer review, and then for that section, and then we have a schedule, a Zoom meeting, we discuss, and then what need to be taken away, and how we're several rounds of those kind of the review sessions, and then editing and the discussion sessions. And then, so that was mostly how we collaborated. It was not that easy, and definitely it's different from single authoring.
Yeah, always. It takes a lot more time, a lot more patience, and waiting, because you also have huge time differences.
Right, 12 hours or 13 hours time difference. Yeah.
So now you often will take students traveling around with you.
Yeah, I've been here. I've been at the University of Dayton for 9 years, and I've been pretty lucky. And so almost every summer, and I had the opportunity to teach abroad we have the study abroad programs. And so right. I've taken students to Europe. And then when there was 1 year in London and Dublin, there was twice I've taken students to Germany and Austria and the Czech uh-huh. Republic. And so for uh-huh. the summer, 6 weeks, faculty-led study programs. And those uh-huh. are mostly business school students, and they are taking, right. Typically, those students would take one business class and then one business writing class. And right. then in the last two winter breaks, I had the opportunity to take the students to China. Those are what during the winter intersessions. And so I teach the professional and technical writing class in global context. And so the class right. is divided into two parts. In the fall semester, we met five times, and then to go mm-hmm. through the basic concepts and about mm-hmm. localization, translation, and user experience. And then during the 10 days, 2 weeks during the winter break, right after Christmas, and then we would travel to China. And then that's a very intensive program. So we travel from one city to another, like from Beijing to Suzhou to Shanghai to Hangzhou, or from Beijing to Shenzhen to Hangzhou to Shanghai, and coming back to the US. And so we visit different companies.
That is an action pack. That is.
Yeah.
Travel.
So yeah. That was not only good for students' professional development and to learn more about technical yeah. writing, and then they're mm-hmm. taking the class for credit hours. And also it mm-hmm. was quite a cultural experience for the students when we travel mm-hmm. in China, because they have to, they tried all kinds of things. And then in terms, like the visited different sites and try different mm-hmm. food, traveled by train, used the, well, they cannot use their US phones. And so they have to figure right. out we have to stay connected of the group, because there are 17 students traveled with me the first time, and it's a big mm-hmm. group. And so
that is a big group.
Yeah. And also is
that, you know, when you're talking about localization, mm-hmm. I mean, what a better eye opener than to actually go and experience. Yeah. I like the fact that you put them through experiencing the culture, not just talking to people, but experiencing it. Right. You mentioned food, which, you know, what does food have to do with technical writing? Well, it's part of a culture, is the food that we eat and all of that colorful experience, that immersion into it.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Like, we don't know, when we first came to the US, we have no idea what fortune cookies are.
And they were invented in LA.
And then for my students, is that when we traveled to China, they were surprised to see that how Pizza Hut operates in China, McDonald's, McDonald's yeah. operate in China. And so yeah. Pizza Hut in some places is like a fancy five-star hotel, that kind of the restaurant, and uh-huh. that kind of the level, sit down, and then you can order different things. And then the Chinese, some of them, the menu also changed. And
yes,
it has localized to. A version of their yeah. the menu, and that fits yeah. that particular customer group. And so
yes.
One of my students said that, I heard a lot about localization, but once I got to China and listened yes. to the lectures, and finally got to know what that is. And yes. so I just thought that was so.
And it's funny that you bring up like a large chain, yeah. like if you, yeah. and it's interesting because any country that you go to where a large chain has come from, you know, like predominantly America, and they go into another country and they have to adapt to the culture there. And it is interesting how they do change things. So you go to different countries and it's not always the same, and the perception of it is not always the same. And that feeds right back into technical communication. When we're trying to write technical content, it crosses borders and boundaries. It's global. Whether you realize it or not, what you're writing could right. be read by somebody in any country on the planet, right?
That's true.
And there's mm-hmm. the things that we need to consider in context.
Yeah.
And what a great example for them to experience with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody wrote those menus. Somebody was thinking about the user experience and the content. Like, there is a technical writer in that chain somewhere.
Yeah. So the business writers get to start to understand and appreciate what technical writing is about. Because I think even in the States, I think we still have to answer that question for a lot of people. What are technical writers?
Right. And also interesting was that when we, 2 years when we visited Alibaba, there were two technical writers. They were not non-Chinese. They were from Great Britain. One is from Great Britain. The other one was from the US. And so the students talked with them. And so we had a few hours with them. And then they were talking about working as a technical writer in China. And so more is from a non-Chinese perspective and how they fit in the Chinese company, because Alibaba is a complete Chinese company. And then how they fit there, how they collaborate with people, what a work day looked like. And so that was, it's different from talking with other technical writers working for the US companies or technical writers, technical writers who are Chinese who are currently working for the Chinese companies, right? You may have different expectations. Different expectations and different experiences.
Yeah.
So that was, for some, that was just, they learned quite a bit. It's not just what I'm telling them, but they learn from other sources.
Yeah. And it's interesting how that Alibaba, for example, knew that they needed technical writers.
They have a huge team. And then one of the documentation teams is headed now by someone who started working as a tech. He has a degree in computer science. And then he started as a technical writer at Microsoft like 20 years ago. And he led the Microsoft documentation team for quite a number of years. And it's about... I think that 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and then he started the team at Alibaba.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
And I would say that, Microsoft, IBM, and these big US companies did train lots of the technical writers on the job. So they hired the people who were English majors in college or who were computer science majors. And then they started their first job as a technical writer and with the guidance of other experienced technical writers in the US. And then they moved right in. And then even today, like for IBM, we visited them in IBM in Shanghai. And so when they have the internship positions for the students, and it's at least 3 months or 6 months internship opportunity for students. And then once they get the full-time position, and then those people would come to the US, I think it's Austin or the Dallas area in Texas, somewhere in Texas. And then they would go through a 6 weeks training, very specialized training on the design thinking. And so that's different practices.
Yeah, we had Jason in room 42.
And Emma Rose
talking about design thinking. I think you know Jason.
I taught in China one summer. And so it's at Guangzhou University of Foreign Language and Foreign Trade. And then the five of us, Theron Howard and Jason, me, and then Kurt, and also the Sam Draga, the five of us taught five classes in one summer to the MTS students at in the School of Translation at Guangdong University of Foreign Studies.
Oh, interesting.
2019. Yeah, 2019. We were there.
Yeah. What a fun collaboration. Yeah. Small world.
Yeah. So I organized that program. It's kind of like a small program. And so, well, we were expecting, we expected to go back then fall 2020, but then nothing happened last year. So.
As it happens.
Yes. We haven't done anything yet. Mm.
Maybe next year.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope we can do that. Yeah, so, COVID changes so many things. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
so you've got students on their way here though this next year.
Yes, and we have had the exchange program with one of the universities in China. It's a Shanghai Normal University, and but those students are in chemical, mechanical engineering technology, or in the electrical engineering, in electrical and computer engineering. Okay. They are coming to the U.S. for their last year to complete the capstone projects. Right. And so it's a collaboration between the two engineering schools. And then we do have the tech writing classes for them. And so we do offer a tech writing class to this group of the students in the fall semester. And in the summer, and we teach a class is more reading and writing in American universities, and which is a course I'm teaching right now.
And you found something interesting happening because the students are coming here and they're learning communication. They stay. Like it's been a huge thing for the university.
Surprisingly, we thought that, you know, we have this kind of the 3+1 program, and then the students are here just for 1 year, and they they come here to finish their capstone project. And then as it turned out that 80% of them would stay in the US to pursue our master's degree or PhD. And either at University of Dayton, or they would go apply to some other programs in the U.S. So, but that's like huge. 50 or 60 of them would stay, percent of them would stay at University of Dayton for a master's degree, which for the university was really a good thing.
Absolutely.
And these are people you're teaching right into who come from engineering. So it's not...
Right.
Their core focus. That's interesting.
Technical writing is not their...
Yeah, not their main focus, yeah.
No.
But, it helps them, right, to understand how to communicate. So they may be in a company as an engineer that has a technical writing team, but having that foundational knowledge, I imagine, helps improve the experience for the technical writers that they'll be working with.
Right, and that's the idea. And also is that their engineering professors would always talk about is that, well, technical writing skills, technical writing, a number of ways, and then how you're going to talk with experts, and then how you're going to, especially sometimes you do have to give a presentation or the proposal to the non-technical audience. And then it's a different ways in how you're going to find out what kind of the background information your non-technical audience know, and what kind of information they might need. And so that kind of the rhetorical analysis of the context or the purpose, as well as the audience, is also very important for them. And so tech writing classes, and also in the summer class, and they do receive training in those areas.
And are you finding a new, are you finding better relationships, interest, you know, more connection between the engineers and the technical writers since they've had these experiences?
With
professional writers in their organizations and in their future? Like, are you seeing the engineers sort of understand and appreciate or grow relationships? Are you seeing any of them want to be tech writers?
Have you converted anyone?
almost. I have to say almost. And was that 2 years ago? Oh, 2 years ago, one group, there were eight students from Shanghai Normal. And they, two of them came to me and talked with me quite a number of the times. And thinking is that, well, I have a background in engineering, and then what about doing the technical writing, and so that when I go back to China, I can find a job as a technical writer. And so compared with other students, and then they kind of have the advantage because they have taken the tech writing classes. And also in my particular class, and then I ask them to interview some of the tech writers in China to learn about their job and then their background and how they became a technical writer. And so that helped them. And then I guess those are the kind of like the reasons they were considering becoming to study technical writing. And then they didn't because and there wasn't any kind of the funding or opportunities in my in our tech writing program. And so they have decided to go with engineering management instead of technical writing.
Interesting. It opening up a whole new career path for people who didn't like. We that's a battle we fight everywhere. Like, a lot of people don't realize this is a interesting. One of the things might I want to get back to. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that might be an interesting research project to do in the future is follow these people who've been through the program, engineers, they go on to be engineers and see, you know, as their career progresses, how that informed or shaped their career as an engineer because they appreciate things from a technical writing perspective. I just think that would be an interesting research.
I do have a student in the tech writing class, and I taught him in 2014. And recently he got promoted, and I saw that on the LinkedIn. And then a few days later, I got a message from LinkedIn message from him, and he was talking about the he works for GE, and he's an engineer. And then he was saying that the engineers do write a lot, and then you do have to apply those kind of the technical writing skills on the daily for the daily writing practice. So I just thought,
all right. Yeah, because like you said, you know, you're going to have to present your ideas, or even if you're an engineer, you're going to have to present, right? And you're going to have to present technical information to people who might not be so technically savvy,
right?
Right? Yeah,
that's true.
Well, and you've got to document what you did and why you did it. That institutional knowledge has to be stored somewhere outside of your own head.
Sure.
Right. So I wanted to get back to one more question. We're running out of time, but I wanted to get to one more thing. did you say earlier that you used your book in the editing class? Like the students were part of the were reviewers and editors?
Yes. So that was before, that was last spring, spring semester, right before, while we're still developing the text. And so it's just not the entire book, but only sections of the book. Parts of it. And then we had the Zoom meeting with all the authors and then with the students. And then they kind of learned the entire background and the context, why we're doing what we're trying to achieve. And then they went through the text and then provided comments.
That's a great way to get opportunity.
Yeah, it's a great way to get good, practical, real experience too,
and to see it from all the points of view, like to really see what it looks like from all the different. That's amazing. What you should do that again. That's just
incredible. Write another book.
Something else.
Get another collaboration for another book.
So to see that kind of the collaboration at that kind of the level. And so as a writer, with writers and with editors and with, the editors of different levels and from different backgrounds as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and all the way through the process, writing non-native written English, right? Like, and seeing it through,
it's like a tongue tire, but it's fascinating from my perspective. It's very fascinating that you're writing a textbook in technical writing in China, in English for Chinese writers that are going to write in English.
Right.
It's just, wow. You know, when you think about it, it's like a mind twister. But then when you think about, you settle in, you think about, like you pointed out from the very beginning, context is everything. And if you're trying to write a textbook to teach a population, how much more impactful it is if you write it from the perspective of the context of the learners, right? So, you know, in technical writing, you know, we're writing for our learners, right? That's our audience, our learners.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to tell them how to use their smartphone, but they're learners. So everyone class is a learner. So
yeah,
so that's fascinating.
Yeah, so that's what we said in the preface of the book. It said, well, we used the, we do, we used the user-centered approach. And then we do is that, well, trying to go through the process. It's more like that we have the persona, we have the like very specified audience, because audience is, analysis is so important in technical writing, right? And we always up to that same audience group that we're writing, speaking to them directly.
Yeah, it really, I mean, it makes the whole definition of localization, like it really takes on a new meaning, a new depth, right? It's not just translating words into another language. It's context, 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 user.
Transcription.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for sharing with us.
Yes.
Thank
it's
you.
Been such a delight talking to you, and I can't wait for a follow-up because it's going to be used in text in classes this fall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have to have a follow-up with you to find out how's it going.
Well, the thing is that my students, they're not the target users of this book.
Right.
And but then I want to, it's really from the other angle to look at the perspective, to look at this book.
And well, you're still, you're in touch with all of the students who are using it.
Right.
It was written for
we
them.
Yeah.
So you're still in touch with them.
Right. Yeah.
So
lots of the books.
Yet, you know, I wonder about, I would love, I, as soon as it's ready in the US,
yeah, I know.
I
that's why I asked right away.
I would
away.
Like it, right? You know, that's the
Listen,
thing.
I want a copy.
I may not be the target audience, but I can always learn things, even from the contexts that are not aimed at me. And in fact, sometimes we learn more.
And that's a good point that you bring up, because I joke with Liz a lot about, Liz, you're not the target audience.
For so many things.
Give a perspective on something. I'm like, okay, clear. You're not the target. But even though we're not the target, I think it would be fascinating and interesting
you learn from that.
To you study learn. That textbook. Yeah, we learn. Even if we're not the target, we'll learn.
Yeah. Well, you learn about your context.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And also, as Confucius said, when the three are together, we always can learn something from each other.
Exactly. Right. This is very true. Very true.
And a perfect three is a way very to powerful edge. Number.
Yes. It has been such a delight talking to you, Dr. Lee. And I
Thank
really
so
do
much.
Hope to have you back again.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. Really enjoyed the room 42.